Hello, and welcome to the family at World Harvest Outreach.
Really excited to have Regina Chacha with us today and her beautiful daughters. Welcome. We're very glad you're here today. I got a message from her about a month ago saying that she was going to be in the area and she'd love to talk about the City of Hope in Tanzania. So I thought it'd be great to have her to inform you guys about it. And I also thought it'd be really good to have Angie stand up here with us because Angie was there for a good while. So I'm going to have Angie share a little bit about her experience, and then could you bring Regina up? Okay.
So I went to the Intagacha village in Tanzania, 2012, right out of high school, and it was an amazing experience. I became friends with Regina Chacha's daughter, and we are still friends, very good friends to this day. She was a bridesmaid in my wedding, actually. So the City of Hope is more than just like an organization for me. It's a part of my heart and my family. So even though I see a part of Tenzi here, that's her daughter's name, I'm still so blessed to call you Mama Chacha, as the other kids do there. And I am so honored that you're here today with us. It's just, I love moments like this where like worlds collide. Like I'm here in America with my WHO family, but then also have my family that I've grown so deeply with, in Tanzania. So I'm very honored to introduce Regina. She's, like I said, she's a mama, and everything that the City of Hope is today is because she persevered through it. She is co-founder with her husband, late husband. Everything that she spoke into existence is today, back then, whenever they started. And I still believe that there's so much more to come because of the vision that the people that are with her in the City of Hope. It's going to go so far. This is like the first phase of what's really, this is going to be generational. Like, we're not going to see, I don't think, but the significance of what you're doing. So it is an honor to introduce you. Am I good to?
Go ahead.
Regina, come on up here. Share your heart. Share your vision.
So I just thought of this as Angie was talking. 26 and a half years ago, your husband took me on my first trip overseas. So your husband opened the world to me. So I want you to know that you and your family have a very special place in my heart and the heart of this place. I remember when I would go on mission trips with John, and I probably went on my first 6 with your husband, Dad. And I didn't get to preach much because he didn't think I was ready yet, and he was right. He was right. But I would sit, and it would be, he was the first guy and one of the only guys that when he preached, I would write messages that I would preach later. Even though I would hear what he was saying, there are certain ones when they share the gospel, when they preach, that it causes the anointing to come to release what the Lord puts on the inside of you. And John Chacha was always that person, not just for me, but literally for hundreds of thousands of people across the world. So it is a deep honor to have you here with us. And what you have done is incredible, and I want the world to know about it. So glad you get to share it with us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Angie and Pastor Mark and all of you. It is a joy to be here. I feel like a lot of you probably have changed, so you weren't here back when my husband would have spoken here, but a few of you might remember him. And I remember when Gene showed us this building, when the church was first starting. So we've had a long time connection, with this church, and, Gene Streit, the founder here, is my cousin, and so, by the way, so anyway, so that's how we started out with the connection and with Pastor Mark. You're just seeing some of the pictures from our children's home in Tanzania. My husband, as Pastor Mark was sharing, he was involved in missions from the time we were married. Even before that, he was an evangelist before he ever came to America. But 11 years ago, God spoke to his heart to return to his home village and build a city of hope. Now, the children's home is the center of that work, but it's not the only piece of it. The children's home is where we have, is home for the over 100 orphans and vulnerable children who live there. This is their home. You know, they call me Mama. There's other staff members that help and take care of them. But in order to really help them fulfill their dreams, we knew we needed to do more than just the children's home and to really help the village. So we also started a medical center, which serves the community. And it's great to have on hand because you can't hardly go a day without some child needing medical services. because not only do we have the home, but we also have two schools. Our primary school has 450 students. Those are composed of those who are our orphans that live there. Then we have day scholars who walk in from the village every day. And then we also have paying boarding students, which helps us to be somewhat sustainable. That's the phase we were at in 2015. And right here, you're seeing pictures of some very special children that in 2015 were given an opportunity to have a full scholarship at Mountain Mission School in Grundy, Virginia. So this is their first time to see the ocean as they were preparing to fly to America. And that is such an incredible door that God opened for us. There has never been in the history of that school a group of students given an opportunity, you know, at the same time. And then there's never been any group of students from Tanzania, particularly from a remote village, a village that people used to be ashamed of saying they were from, a village that was known for cattle theft and clan wars, given an opportunity to come to America. And 23 came in 2015 and then 10 more in 2016. So we have a total of 33 children at Mountain Mission School, which is just an amazing door that God has opened. You just never know what God will do when you're following his plan and you're open to what he has for you and just knowing when to step through those doors. Well, the other thing that happened in 2015, and it was right in the middle of when we were preparing to send the children to Mountain Mission School, is that's when my husband passed away. It was a tragic accident. And when that happened, we knew the next thing that needed to happen was the secondary school. At that time, our children, once they finished primary school, we had to send them to the village school, which didn't have the teachers they needed. They were learning at such a lower level. I mean, our primary school, it has received honors because we've scored at the top in the region, number 17 in the nation on their standardized test. And then they have to go to this subpar secondary school. So anyway, after my husband passed, when we were grieving, we were meeting as a family, my second son asked me, "Mom, can we name the secondary school after Dad?" We all knew that was the next thing we wanted to do. And so right away we, you know, agreed as a family and as a board that we would do that. And so right away at the memorial services, I began saying, we are building the Dr. John Chacha Secondary School. And I just praise God that from that announcement in 2015 till January 2017, we were able to open the Dr. John Chacha Secondary School. So we praise God for that. And yeah, there is Chacha with the children. You just passed him. But anyway, it was such a true miracle and work of God, because at that time, we had nothing. And that's the way every vision we've started has been. We never had the provision. But when you know that it's something God calls you to, and you step out in faith and just start one step at a time, God will do it. And He has been faithful. And we praise Him. I want to bring in a little bit of a message along with just talking about the City of Hope. And my message is about standing in the gap, making a difference. In Ezekiel 22, Ezekiel is asked from the Lord in verse 2, Son of man, are you ready to judge Jerusalem? And as you go through that chapter, there's so many things, and I won't read it in detail, but there's so many problems that God was saying, Ezekiel, are you ready to speak about these problems? I'll just list them briefly. Fathers and mothers being treated with contempt. Foreigners forced to pay for protection. Orphans and widows being wronged and oppressed. Idol worship, obscene behavior, ignoring God and His commands, priests who defile what is holy, who make no distinction between what is holy and what is not, disregarding the Sabbath days, prophets who lie and say the Lord said when He hasn't said, oppressing the poor, robbing the needy, depriving foreigners of justice. And then in verse 30, it says, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. Now that's a very sad verse. That no one was found to stand for justice, to remove the oppression. But many times in the Bible, we do see where people stood up, stood in the gap, rebuilt the walls, and things changed. Nehemiah was one of these. He was living in a time when the walls were broken down, literally. So here we're talking about physically rebuilding the gaps in the walls. And that is one area of standing in the gap. Physical care for those in need. Physical care, which can involve building, just like it did for us. That secondary school is giving opportunity to children who would never have such an opportunity. And people are amazed, you know, at the quality of our school. And we have a technology lab, we have science labs, and we're in the middle of nowhere. We're way back a dirt road. We're in a forgotten part of the country, and yet we're able to bring a difference there, to stand in the gap for those students and give them an opportunity to make a difference. Well, back to Nehemiah. The enemies came against him, but he told them, don't be afraid of the enemy. This is verse Nehemiah 4, chapter 4, verse 14. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. He said, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When the enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. So they continued. They stood in the gap to see that wall of protection built. And then in Nehemiah 6, verse 1, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and the rest of the enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gate. And then jumping to verse 15, so the wall was completed. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Amen. This is such an inspiration to me because we're still in the middle of building projects, and we're building teacher housing, we're building dormitories that are needed to go with our secondary school. And in all of it, my prayer has been that nothing will cause us to slow down, that I can keep saying to Hudson, our director there, you know, keep moving, go straight ahead with what God has called us to do, and that all of it is being done with the help of our God. It's nothing in myself other than a long time ago, I said, "Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do." And he provided an amazing husband for me, that we were able to join together in this vision. We were able to go back to his home community. We were able to start. And then after his passing, I can simply say it's the Lord's sustenance. Many people didn't really think we'd be able to keep going. And all I can say is it's the Lord who's been with me and given me that strength to just keep saying we will move forward. We will do this because it is something the Lord has called us to. We are standing in the gap. We are that protection. Over and over in the Bible, you hear God talking about the fatherless, the orphans, the widows. And that's because they're vulnerable people. They're people that don't have someone standing and protecting them. So God asks his people to be that father to the fatherless, that mother to the motherless, to stand in the gap. For major change to happen in anyone's life, it takes someone willing to stand in the gap, to make that difference. Moses stood in the gap for the children of Israel. He stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go, that they would no longer be in bondage." Esther stood in the gap, interceding for the king, for her people, when they were headed for destruction. What are the needs you see around you? What are the areas where you can stand in the gap? And it can be physical care for the suffering, which is a lot of what we're about, but not the whole picture at the City of Hope. It can be disaster relief. It can be taking attention to a child who needs attention. I taught school for 9 years in Martinsville City Public Schools. That's where our home office is, Martinsville, Virginia. That's down in Southern Virginia, what we call Southside Virginia. And our school was not a good school. I mean, we had a lot of problems. And one thing I noticed with the students, it wasn't so much their ability that made the difference whether they were successful or not, but whether someone cared, whether they had someone in their life that cared about them. And that's what made the difference. And that's what it means to stand in the gap for someone. And that's what we're doing for the children at the City of Hope, is standing in the gap. Let's just see the quick video to show the completion. This is the dedication ceremony when we completed our secondary school in 2017.
We are here gathered today to celebrate a school that is in memory of Dr. John Thatcher. The school has been a dream that we celebrate to see and to touch the dream come true.
It's amazing to see the transformation in the lives of the children that we've been able to touch. And it's not just about the physical care, but also the spiritual. We have children who come, some from traditional backgrounds where there's witchcraft and other kinds of other traditional religious practices, and yet they come to know the Lord. We've had students of Muslim background that have come to know the Lord. We've had a hard time finding all Christian teachers, but praise God, one by one, they're coming to know the Lord. And we, yes, give God glory and give Him praise. And that's what it truly takes to change the world, is to see people's lives transformed by the power of God. Because as much as you can do physically, if their minds aren't changed, the root problems remain. But when minds are transformed by the power of God, then anything is possible. And those students have a glorious future ahead of them as they follow God's plan. We'll just watch another really quick video about our Sponsor a Child program.
We've got it. The talent to amaze audiences. The drive to get the job done. The ability to lead and unite communities. The desire to help those less fortunate. We've got love to share with the world. And now, thanks to you, we have the opportunity to make it all happen.
Like I said, it's very short. but I do want to encourage you afterwards. We have literature at the back that you can pick up, both about sponsorship program, just about our ministry in general. And if anyone is interested in mission trips, there's also information about doing that. And then there's some books that my husband's written. And my daughter, as Angie mentioned, Tenzi, she is working full-time at the City of Hope, and she has a program in sewing and design that she's doing with the Village Women. So their products are also in the back. So after that commercial break, let me go back to, I've talked about standing in the gap with physical care, with spiritual transformation. And the last area that I want to talk briefly about is community transformation. And when I read some of those problems in Ezekiel, those are problems that are familiar to us today. They're problems that are familiar around the world. And who is going to stand up and stop evil practices? Stop problems with racism. Stop problems that keep the poor poor. Who is going to stand in the gap? In Tanzania, there's a lot of problems that keep people in poverty. And they won't be solved all at once, and they won't be solved by one person. But as God gives us wisdom, and as we choose to stand up, we can make a difference. In every culture, you can find good things to celebrate, and you saw the kids dancing and the singing. We love to celebrate those things about culture. But there's things that I can only say are Satan-inspired in every culture. And those are areas where we need to stand up and say, no, this needs to change. And that's what, actually, if you study missions, as I have, I read a ton about missions and what has happened in the world. Missionaries are the ones that stopped some of the really terrible cultural practices around the world. Gladys Alward worked among the orphans in China many years ago. And she had a great part in stopping the practice of the binding of the women's feet. She was actually asked to partner with the government as the foot inspector. And praise God, that practice was changed. Amen. Amy Carmichael was called to India, and God used her to stop temple prostitution of young girls being thrown into prostitution in their temples at a very early age. She had a major role to play in seeing that that was stopped. Another practice that she spoke out against that was stopped is the burning of widows with their dead husbands. They were burnt alive. We have a practice in our part of Tanzania that's illegal, but it goes on every 2 years. It's called female genital mutilation. And every December, well, every 2 years in December, young girls who are reaching maturity are forcibly mutilated. And we're standing with the government against it. We're a safe haven for any girls who want to have a place to be safe during that season. And some even need to stay longer, depending on what we know might happen in their families. Some of our girls at City of Hope are there because of that. We have a conference over that same season when that's happening. And 2 years ago was the time. So this December will be the time again. But 2 years ago, as we were praying and preparing for our conference, I really felt the Lord say that we need to say, this is the end. That this is a practice that is going to stop, and that we won't continue to have to battle it year after year, because it will end. Praise God. So pray with us as this season comes around again. Pray with us. The government's finally getting serious and has been threatening, like they've threatened village leaders, that they'll hold them responsible if it's happening in their village. We have some of our older girls this year, they went out to some of the village schools and spoke against it. Because there's a lot of lies around it that keep it happening. Lies they tell the girls, you won't be able to get married, this won't happen, that won't, so many things. And yet they don't tell them the truth of like the complications in childbirth that can happen and different things like that. But it's an area where I believe God has called us to stand in the gap and see community transformation and see this thing stopped. And truly, as people come to the Lord, I mean, it's not in the churches that are being real churches. And we have met with the pastors, we stand with the pastors, and we're encouraged that they're speaking out in their congregations and are making a difference. But just to give you an illustration of what some of them go through, one pastor shared with us at our conference that his relatives all knew that he was against it and would not allow it for his daughters. But they kidnapped one of them anyway and forced her through it. The good thing was, though that itself is a terrible thing, but he prosecuted. And I wasn't sure if the government would really do anything against the other people. And I'm not exactly sure what was done, but it was enough of a punishment that he said he now knows they won't ever try that again. And so we were thankful that he at least stood up for that. But it's a very real issue. And there are real issues, you know, all around us. And we need to pray and say, God, what are you calling me to do? Where are you calling me to stand in the gap? Or if there's someone on the front lines in a particular area, what can I do to support them? How can I pray? How can I stand with them, and how can I make a difference? God is so good, and He gives us strength. He gives us wisdom. He gives us courage when we trust in Him to do what He's called us to do. Amen. Let's just pray together, and then I'll turn it back to Pastor Mark. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you that each one here is called to stand in the gap in some area, whether it's reaching out to a child who's struggling, whether it's supporting a cause that you need to see change, something that needs to change in our culture or in another culture where we're called to work. Father, we thank you that you will give us wisdom and direction as we seek you. We thank you that we can trust you to be our strength, to be our provision, to walk with us. Father, I thank you that we will see the end of FGM in the area, in the Tarime District, in Tanzania. I thank you, Lord, that we will see our children rise up and fulfill your calling on their lives. I thank you, Father, that you make a way, that you are our strength, that you lead us, that you provide, that we can trust you to walk with us through whatever storms, through whatever hardships, that we will see your hand of deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to have you stand up. Could you come back up here? And could you guys come with us too? Come on up here. I feel like we need to pray over them. Would that be good if we gather around them? Yeah. So come on up here. Come on up here and join me. Anyone that wants to. Invite anyone and everyone. I like to surround them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for what I just experienced in my heart. Thank you for what is happening on the inside of these hearts here. It is you. And it is real. And it's changing the earth. Honestly, Lord, I am in reverence of you right now because of this family. So we just take this moment and we pause in your presence. And we thank you for your faithfulness to them. You have been so faithful. A strong tower. One who performs what he said he would do. And thank you for giving them strength. Thank you for continued vision. Thank you for increased vision, Lord God. I thank you for resource and provision that matches the vision that has been given to them. Thank you for more and different relationships to come and to partner with them, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for the children in the schools and in the home. Lord, I thank you that many will rise up and get a vision to do what's happening there in different places. Thank you for leaders that are arising in that place. Business leaders, government leaders, education leaders, Lord God, arts leaders, those, Lord God, that will go and will have great influence by your Spirit, sourced in the Father who loves them. We bless them as a family today. We say yes and amen to what you are doing in them. What they've put their hands and hearts and minds to, Lord God, we speak as a family blessing over them. Thank you for them, Lord God. Thank you for the example they are to us. Thank you for the treasure they are in the earth. Father, I declare that every need shall be met, more than enough, in Jesus' name. And Father, for this cause that she brought up at the end of her talk, Lord God, we agree with her for the end to this, in Jesus' name. It shall not continue. Father, I ask that you convict the hearts of parents and of I don't even know if it's priests or whoever, Lord God, that continue this practice, Lord God, or propagate it. Father, we ask that you arrest their hearts by your Spirit in Jesus' name and cause them to see something different than what they've experienced in the past. Let heaven come. Let Jesus come in dreams and show them the heart of the Father for people. We ask for it, Lord. Lord God, we bless their feet, that wherever they walk, that land would be yours. Thank you for an expansion of the kingdom of God through them, in the hearts of every child. Thank you that light is coming more and more through City of Hope. Bless it, Father. Continue to bless it. Father, I thank you for this family as it grows and matures and expands and spreads its wings, and each one of the children, Lord God, begin to express themselves just like we saw in the video from Wita and his company. Let it continue to grow. Let this family grow and expand. Let the earth be changed because of the Cha-Cha family. And as a small sampling of humanity, we say yes and amen to them. We say we welcome you into our hearts. We welcome your sound. We welcome your anointing. We welcome your ideas. We welcome what the Lord is doing in you. Sow your seed. Let it grow and prosper in Jesus' name. We honor this family. We honor Regina and all that she's continuing to carry and do. Father, give her the grace to carry this. Continued increased grace. May the love of God, the grace of God, keep them in your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just feel like I need to take an offering for this family. Kind of like one of those pocket offerings we do sometimes. Can someone run and get the basket? I don't know where it might be. Is it still in the office? Charlie's got it. So we do this every once in a while, where we just have you hold the basket and we just put money in and it's for you. Okay, whatever you decide to do with it, you can. We just want to bless you and your family. So, yeah. So you hold that, okay? And so just bring an offering. Bring anything to bless them, to increase what God's doing in them and through them. Thank you, Lord. Come on, make it rain on them. Make it rain green. One of my favorite messages that John ever preached was that these were little green soldiers. Do you remember that message?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go and get more of your friends, he always used to say. Thank you, Lord. It's not over yet. All right, that's yours. We want us to gather it together for you and work. All right. Can you work on putting that together nicely for them? Thank you. Thank you for blessing them. Thank you for receiving them. What a blessing it is to have you with us. Thank you again for being with us. Continued grace on your ministry. You guys good? Yeah? So, Father, I pray for us that we would see those gaps in the wall where we go. for the students in this room. May they see the gaps in the wall at school, high school, college. For us, Lord God, as adults in our jobs and in our interactions in the world, show us the place where we can literally insert ourselves, the grace that you've put on our life, so that we can be Nehemiah. We can be the answer to that prayer in Ezekiel. Father, it is not enough for us to hope somebody else does what we see. So many answers to oppression and injustice are in this room. I ask, Lord God, for eyes to see. Give us a sensitivity, even in this week, as we go about our week, or we go about our work, that we would see the opportunities, even if it's in the moment, in a relationship, or even something larger like in our community or in society. God, Father, I ask that you give us the heart and the boldness to stand and to say enough is enough. That we would be the justice of God in the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you all to have a great week. Thanks for being here. Go love people this week, all right?
World Harvest Outreach is located in Chambersburg, PA, USA, but we have family around the world. To connect with us, please visit whocenterpa.com.